But I'm sure when you're winning, it doesn't matter how you get your medal, you're pretty happy about it. Lizzie Watson about to hoist the trophy high into the stands and celebrate the victory of the mighty Australian Diamonds. Well done to them. I wonder what the buffet is looking like at Melbourne Park. Wonder if Wally Masur has been past it or he's bringing his own. He's an organised sort of fellow. He's one of the greats of Australian tennis and he joins us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Wally.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
We're going well, thanks. Is the buffet in operation or you have to pack your own food?
Oh, look, I do both.
Great result.
I don't want to miss out.
Can I ask you, we're digressing a little bit, but it's a bit of fun. What's in the home pack that you take with you? What do you take from home?
Oh, the unhealthy options. The snacks. I'm doing a bit of commentary, though, so you've got to kind of... got to stay sugared up to keep, to keep going.
That's my excuse too.
What have you made so far of the first couple of days of play?
Well, I think the Australian Open deserved a break. So we've been lucky. We've had some, really good weather and, uninterrupted schedule. And, the crowds are limited to 50% capacity. So it's slightly different feel, but we experienced that last year. But all in all, some really good tennis. Probably for me, just some, working for Tennis Australia and performance, just a few close results that didn't go our way. That was a bit disappointing for some of the Australians, but overall, pretty good.
Yeah, so just from an Australian point of view, what stood out? I'll leave Ash to the side because she's just incredible with how she's going. What are the things that have captured your attention that from a positive point of view?
Well, from a positive point of view, I thought Alex Imina, he showed some real signs. Late last year, he played his last match in the Davis Cup Finals. It was really solid, and then he sort of picked up where he left off when he got to the ATP Cup, played really well, and gee, he was sharp the other night. He was moving so well that he actually came out of his shoe. I've never seen that before. his foot speed was so great that his foot came right out of the shoe, and he played three or four balls in his sock. That's how well he's going. But, yeah, that was impressive. Obviously, Nick is pretty enigmatic. He didn't play the first 2 weeks of the season due to asthma, and then he had COVID. And then he comes out and plays the sort of tennis and puts on the sort of show that only he can put on. So that's going to be really interesting to see how he goes up against Medvedev tonight. He's just the most awkward player, I think, for any of the seeds to face in such an early round. So that's going to be a real blockbuster. And I'm sure Nick's going to provide plenty of surprises there. So look, that was really positive, from in terms of our top players. We actually had some good results in the qualifying. I know we're into the main draw now, but we gave a lot of our young juniors an opportunity to play in the qualifying, and quite a few of them haven't travelled for years due to the COVID restrictions. And pros can get overseas, but it was very hard for juniors to get exemptions to play overseas, and a lot of the tournaments were cancelled. So they got a run in the qualifying, and we had a bunch of juniors win matches in the first round of qualifying. And, you recognise that players in qualifying have rankings inside the world's top 250. So that was really encouraging. Madison Inglis won her first round against the US Open finalist. So, there's been some good things. And probably two things that disappointed me were Jordan Thompson losing in five and Alexei Poprin losing in five. They both train really hard. They've got great potential to do well in a slam, but just didn't fall their way.
There was great hope for Thanasi Kokkinakis, Wally, after his win in Adelaide last week, and the story of him and having to work so hard to get back to full fitness and health and missing so much tennis through the last 5 years or so, for probably even more for Thanasi. But it was always going to be, was it always going to be challenging for him to back that, the emotion of Adelaide last week, to progress through into the second week or into the first couple of rounds of the Australian Open?
Yeah, there's the emotion. And obviously, Thanasi's injuries have been well documented. He's not lost nearly 3 to 4 years through glandular fever and shoulder surgery and all sorts of problems. But I think as much as the emotional, dealing, kind of resetting to the Australian Open, I think the conditions were quite different. And I just think he just couldn't adjust within 24 hours because he literally only had one day in between winning the final on Saturday night and playing on Monday. He just needed more time on the court. He didn't get it. But the tour's a bit like that. When lightning strikes, you've just got to be in the right place at the right time. And he got a lot of points in Adelaide. He's on the cusp of 100 in the world, which gets him into all the slams. So you've got to take the wins when they arrive. And, that's a learning curve. If he's in that situation again, he'll be more knowledgeable about how to go about preparing for the next big match after a tournament victory, hopefully.
Does it feel like a normal Australian Open now? Obviously, with all the dramas in the build-up, it's still, life's still not normal, but it's a little bit more normal than it was last year when the tournament was played a little bit later. What's it like walking around in the corridors and being on court at the moment?
Well, when I've been commentating some matches and obviously going to watch some of the matches, and when you're in those outdoor courts, you know, Margaret Court Arena, court number 3, for example, it's rocking. You know, there's a great atmosphere. So you're not aware necessarily of the 50% crowd capacity. Where you do notice it is just walking around the ground.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's really heaving here normally at the Australian Open. But guys, I'm approaching 60, and I like the quiet. You know, I like it. You know, I can find a chair. I can have a cup of tea under a gum tree. It's perfect.
Ash, clearly the headline act from Australian tennis perspective through the next 10 days or so. She's had a pretty soft start to the tournament. Is that a positive or a bit of a concern for you, Wally?
No. I think it's Ash had a great year last year, obviously. She had some decent time off at the end of the year, which is a positive, and then you know she could really build up into the preseason. Goes to Adelaide, got the matches under her belt. I think it's a perfect start for Ash, to be honest. And she's such a, you know, the thing that I'm just so impressed with Ash is just how versatile she is. So one of the great problems, of course, in tennis is the different styles of opponent you can play from day to day. And that can be unsettling, but she's not a one-dimensional player. She's just got so much versatility that she can seem to sort of diffuse most of the problems. And I guess unlike some Australian players who I felt, you know, our Grand Slam winners, they could never find their very best tennis at the Australian Open. I don't think that's going to be the problem for Ash, whether this year or next or in the years to come. I think she's going to take this title.
It seems, Wally, that where her improvements come just from the Australian Summer of Tennis, her serve, and that seems to be the thing that has led her down in crucial moments in the past, but there seems to be an emphasis to improve it, and it certainly seems to be the way at the moment.
Well, also, too, you've got to recognise players, each year they do another pre-season, they spend, you know, more hours in the gym, they get a little bit stronger, so that will always help with your serve. But, you know, one of the things I think with Ash, I watched her play at the US Open, this is going back, maybe 4 or 5 years, and she was really young, and when, to me, it was almost like an attitudinal thing. She had to recognise that she's got a good service motion, she's got good technique, she's not tall, but, you know, she's able to, you know, biomechanically and technically, she's got a really good serve. So to me, it was like an attitude. You know, when you step up and you bounce the ball, what are you trying to achieve? And obviously in the men's game, you know, they're taller and more powerful, so they really see the serve as a chance to get a free point or to set up the next big shot. And I think for Ash, it was a case of, well, you know, as a junior, you probably spin it in to start the point and then use all your other skills. But, yeah, for me, it's more like she steps up to the line now and it's very directional. She's very much using it to set up the next shot, might be a big forehand or, you know, looking for an opportunity to come forward, whatever that is. So I think it's just a combination of strength, gaining strength over the years, and then, you know, just a more positive attitude when she steps up to the line.
There's a lot to look forward to for Ash and for Aussie tennis fans for the next 10 days or so for the rest of the Australian Open. Big one tonight too with Nick taking on Daniil Medvedev, number 2 seed, first up tonight on Rod Laver Arena. Looking forward to all the action. Wally, appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Good on you guys. Thank you.